famous Phil Henry Show. Red Ale Pacific on Southern California with Robert Leonard.
Yeah, also Margaret Brent.
Yes, and General Galen Shaw.
And here's Phil Henry.
Welcome to Phil Henry Show here for Friday. Tonight we're at the Hollywood Improv for the very last time.
Now, are you feeling bittersweet about that?
No. I mean, well, yeah, but no. But yeah, but no. I figure my relationship with the Hollywood Improv is good, and maybe I can go back there.
Don't start taking things for granted.
Yeah, I'm scared. You know, they may just, like,
blow you right off, man. You know?
What do you mean, blow me off?
Well, you don't know. They may be thinking. Excuse me. They may.
Slow down, General.
I've got it, okay? Will you give me a glass of that cocktail sauce?
Hey.
And then,
what do you mean cocktail sauce?
I don't know, it helps.
And a cocktail sauce? You want the clam sauce?
No, the clam juice.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
It's a cocktail sauce clam juice cocktail.
And it helps me, loosens up the mouth and the jaws. I tend to just lay there at night thinking about the world condition and going, and it tenses up.
Oh, yeah, it's up. Relaxes it.
Yes, it relaxes it.
Oh, okay.
You happy now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just...
Yeah, here you go.
All right, bud. I've got it.
Yeah, right here.
I've got it.
Bud, watch. You're going to spill it, man.
So anyway, what I'm saying is, what they're saying and what I'm saying is that the people at the Hollywood... was the thing?
It's the Hollywood Improv, General.
Yeah, the Hollywood Improv. They may be thinking, thank God we got rid of that guy. You think about that?
Well, you know, I figured if they're thinking,
Slow down. This is what the guy's doing. He's going, think.
I...
Hey, you want some clam juice?
No, thank you.
Very, really very good, Mr. Henry. It's helped out the General immensely. You know?
All right, bud. Just stay off my side, okay, Doc?
Well...
All right, thank you, bud. I don't need that. Here's my, just what I wanted to say to you, General, is if they felt that way about me, they could have, gotten rid of me anytime they wanted to, you know?
Well, they probably don't want to hurt your feelings, right?
What is it with you guys all of a sudden now? You want to feel bummed out about being at the Hollywood Improv?
They're just screwing around, but,
they're screwing around, but you mean I know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, right?
No, I don't know what you mean. Anyway, tonight is, may I continue?
Phil, you just went, I'm sorry, I don't mean to point that, God. Sorry.
We just pointed that out because you may need clam juice.
I don't want any clam juice. So tonight is our final night at the Hollywood Improv, and then beginning in March, we're going to do two shows a month at UCB. I am very excited about Upright Citizens Brigade because it's not stand-up. It's more of a theater thing, which is what I believe that I do,
You do good. You're doing good.
He's not doing good. He does good. He does do that good.
But you're not out in the world doing good.
No, of course I'm not.
Yeah,
I want to clarify that.
Great. UC Upright Citizens Brigade in Hollywood on Sunset. We will begin doing that in March. That's two shows in March. I got to get my act together on that, man, because there's all kinds of pre-prep and stuff that I got to do. So we got our show tonight, today, and then we have tonight the improv for the final time, and then I'm having dinner over at my ex-wife Maria's house on Saturday night.
Now, this is very interesting. So are you guys dating again?
Yeah, Phil, give us the scoop, will you?
No, we're not. We're friends, and we are reacquainting ourselves, and it's great to talk with her after all of these years, of different phases of things, and it was great to see that she'd been in school, and that she's about ready to get her master's and about ready to get her license in marriage, family, child counseling, which I just now figured out, actually in the pre-show.
It's MFCC. My sister Roxanne, her daughter, she does that. And she's very good at it, and she has all these nuts coming in. I shouldn't say nuts, but she,
Yeah, she counsels people, right?
Yes, she counsels people, and they come in and out. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. They have an office and people come in and out.
No, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. Boy.
I know that, Phil, but I'm not that interested in it. So when you brought it up, I cast around in my mind for some connection I may have to it. And I know that Roxanne's daughter...
I think it's Glenella.
Glenella, that's it.
How'd you get the name Glenella?
Well, her father's name is Glenn. And they wanted to feminize Glenn.
So they came up with Glenella.
That's right, General. Are you judgmental?
Well, come on. How about Glean?
Glean? Get a load of this guy. Hey, Phil, I'm talking. Oh, you're here.
Yeah. What are you talking about now?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? You've been listening, haven't you?
Yeah, but son, the champ, talk about Phil and I's the name Glenn.
So your sister and her husband, Glenn.
Yes, they wanted to name the child after Glenn, but they didn't want to give her a man's name.
Well,
you know, you don't want a girl walking around,
hi, I'm Glenn.
What the
All right, so what happened?
What happened? They said, what, we'll take Glenn's name and feminize it to Glenella. What's wrong with that?
Jesus.
Well.
Oh, you guys are some real weird asses, you know that?
Well, Miss Gray, come on, Glenella.
You know what? I hope all of you GPS your way to hell, and then there's a friendly demon cop.
Taking you to the front gate?
Yes.
Taking you to the front gate.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, just move on.
Yeah, this is the Phil Hendry Show, and
what are you guys laughing at?
Well, I mean,
Margaret, you know, Glenella is weird. Just,
Give the girl a complex, then.
I don't mean to do that, but what you just described to me feels strange, all right?
Right. I'll bet a lot of things feel strange to you, Phil, and then you get used to them. I'm Margaret Gray.
What a turncoat you are, man. One minute you're on my side, and the next minute...
Well, you gotta give it to her.
Yeah, you gotta give it to her, man. You know, give her, just, you know, she's got it on that one.
Yeah, she's got it. Tell you what we do have, and that is our traffic with Bob Bacon. So let's check it out right now. Bob Bacon and the traffic, and how's it looking, man?
Hey, Bill, it's the way right now. There's a thrill line, and the thrill monster is Bob Sheen. You'll see the Bob Sheen is out there in the street. It is a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. The crime has been committed. Fry pan is off, that is what I was trying to say there just a minute ago. Out of about that 5 freeway, there's a guy getting on the ground around the track. You're going to make it by 5 minutes there, get it 5 in. Let's go over to Skyboy now.
Hey, all right, Mama, the moon out soon, and there's a moon down there, there's a moon out tonight, I think. And the old Camptown Racers sing this song, Doo-Dah, Doo-Dah, is against out there, and the high five of the vibe. And down on the, I need to tell the San Diego's, well, here goes the boy, Sky Baby Sweet Tan.
Oh, we've run out of gas. Notice how hip I sound with aw, oh, shit. Boy, Sky Pig. Boy. It's Kaboom, baby. Babe. Sky Pig. Baby.
Hi, Margaret Gray for Cynthia's Pies. I don't know how much in the market you are for pies, and we're talking about the apple, the strawberry, the pumpkin, and the vanilla, all at Cynthia's Pies. She gets up early in the morning, and she makes these pies herself. Not really, but we have to be honest, in the advertising, she doesn't go in. She barely knows anything about pie making. Her husband bankrolled the business.
Cynthia's Pies, on Rector, near the gigantic Vulcan on Hasbro Lane.
Cynthia's Pies, they have been in business a long time, since 2011, and they're there for you. Pie or no pie, Cynthia's there for you. One of the reasons I used to say, is she not into work today because she got pie-eyed?
Cynthia's Pies. This is Harvey Wireman, and I want you to consider, for you and your family, this Murgatroyd monitor. You park this on your chest, you put it anywhere on either your body or any unit that's close by, and it will tell you if your heart's still beating, if your digestive tract is working. How many times have you said, I know I'm standing and I know I'm conscious, but is everything working? You know, is my brain waves? You don't know, do you? You have no idea at all. Well, with this Murgatroyd monitor, you park it on your forehead, you can put it anywhere you want, and it will feed back to you immediately precious data on the functionality and functioning of the different areas that you do.
Yeah, can you put it on your butt?
Yeah, well, you would, Dickman. What an asshole. Murgatroyd monitors. Since 1958, they've been monitoring you, your loved ones, your relatives, and every Christian soul. Murgatroyd monitors. Get one. I highly recommend it. I haven't used many of them, but as Dickman just indicated, I had a blocked colon, so I went ahead and put the monitor back there, and I could hear, you know, there were definitely, there was work going on. Murgatroyd monitors. I'm living in
denial. Stop loving the life. The famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Don Berman is with Channel 19 News. You know, Don, like a lot of news people, he gets asked to do, from time to time, he's asked to do a movie or a TV show where they need a newsman.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of those. If you see these disaster movies, right, Margaret?
Well, yes, the film Earthquake. Any film that has depicts a news event, they generally do have a newsman there.
We've got Don on the line from Channel 19 News, and he was... landed the part in Rex Easley's new film, right, Don?
Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, Phil. First of all, thank you very much for having me on the program. Yes, Rex Easley's Landmine was, in fact, casting for the part of a newsman, and I have a great deal of experience in film, in television. I have been in a lot, I've got a lot of credits.
Which ones you been in there, Mr. Berman?
Well, I've been in the television program Owl Escapade and Bat Squad, and I also did the part of a newsman. A lot of people think that I only do newsmen, and yes, I do, but I've got much more range, and I'd like the producers and directors out there, not that I need to come on your show and campaign for a job or anything.
No, I would think that you've got enough on your resume, Don.
Yes, I do, but a reminder, I've got range, and putting me in a movie to be a news guy...
Well, all right, so what are you going to do with... But you are a newsman in this film, right?
Well, first of all, let me say, back everything up. I have decided against that film.
You're not going to be in it.
No, I'm not. And I've decided to get... As I said, I want to stretch, and I want to... I can do more than being a newsman, and all I've ever been is a newsman.
Now, Phil, you can relate to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got cast in a lot of things as a disc jockey or a radio guy.
Well, that's the first thing they're going to think of you for.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know about you, Phil, but I have more range, and...
Well, yeah, you want to do other things, but a job's a job, right?
Well, a job is a job.
Yeah, but you didn't get this job.
Well, let me explain something to you, Dickman, because... him jumping in like that...
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit more polite, man. Well, you didn't get the job, did you?
Would you please ask him?
Bud, have some manners.
Yeah, thank you. Would you get that phone I just turned in? And I'll tell you right now, if it's my brother-in-law, I'm going to take that phone and tear it out of the wall and throw it in the street. You understand that?
Yeah, but it might be.
If it might be, it could be. I'll take the phone and throw it into the street.
If we got you at a bad time here, Don...
No. Everything's fine. The film Landmine, directed by Rex Easley... And Rex Easley's one of the top new young directors.
Directors?
I know the word. Directors.
Did we catch you at a bad time?
No. No, I'm fine.
Well, it sounds like you're irritated.
It sounds like you're a little bit irritated that, you know, you didn't get the job. We understand.
Well, what do you mean I didn't get the job? I declined the job.
Well, we read in Variety that... Tom Balboni was up for this as well, from Terror News, Channel 51.
Oh, did you? And you were going to spring that on me right now, huh?
No, I mean, we just, we knew that we didn't know he got the job, though.
Yeah, he got it. He got it, yeah, he got it all right. He got it, and he's going to get it.
But what does that mean? That sounds like a threat.
It's not a threat. I think he's going to find, though, that working for Rex Easley is not the easiest thing in the world. He has you doing lots of takes. And I will tell you this, Rex Easley's productions are not what I would call union. They are union, but boy, does he go cheap. He's got these real garbage pit dressing rooms.
All right, let's not go bad-mouthing some director. Anyway, so you didn't get that job.
You're saying I didn't get the job. I declined the job, okay?
Well, you declined it, so who did they cast?
What did you just say?
Well, it's Tom Balboni, right?
Tom Balboni.
It's pronounced Balboni.
Right, I was trying to mess it up. No, it's Tom Balboni.
He got the job.
He got the job that I declined to take.
All right, so you turned it down and they offered it to him.
No, he auditioned and I auditioned and then they offered it to him, but I knew that I was going to... You got to understand something, all right?
Yeah, see?
No, not yeah, see, nothing. You have to understand, Rex Easley and I are very close. I could tell when I went in... And I didn't even have to audition. He said to me, you're it, I want you. But he said, if you don't mind, can I get you on tape to show to the other producers? And I said, I was a little offended by that. And he said, please, Don, there's one guy that hasn't seen you. Not that he needs to see you, but we need to humor him. And I said, okay. So I read the thing. And then I decided, you know what? I don't want the job because I know they're reading Tom Belbani.
So Tom Belbani has something to do with you quitting?
God damn, man.
Well, that's what you're saying, Don. You're saying Tom Belbani being in the casting process caused you to drop out.
No, I didn't. No, I did. I said I don't want the job. When they came to me and said that Belbani...
All right, so that's it. They did cast him.
No, they came to me and they said, they called me. I got a call from Rex Easley, or his assistant, I should say. I got a call from Sharon, his assistant. And I said, is this Rex? If it is, you know, you must have had a sex change overnight. Ha ha. And she said, no, it's Sharon. Rex is busy. He's having lunch. And I said, okay. And she said, we're giving it to Tom Belbani. Thanks a lot. Click. And so I, you know, that's how they do it in Hollywood, though, Phil, because they're very much in a hurry.
That sounded very perfunctory.
It did not sound nice at all. You easily couldn't get on the phone.
What's this? Rex Easley was doing what?
The man was having lunch. Don't you think people are allowed to have lunch?
I think it sounds rude for a guy that's a friend of yours.
Now, the guy sitting down on the phone and said, you know, we're not going to hire you. Tell Tom Belbani.
It's not Tom Belbani.
I mean, Tom Belbani.
Yeah, it's Tom Bel. Not that I care how you pronounce his name. But you guys are, you've blown it. You blew it, you know, you...
Well, all right, so you turned the job down.
I turned the job down, and oh yeah, they'd already hired him. I didn't know that, though.
Well, all right, so they'd hired, but you didn't know they'd hired him.
I had no idea that they'd hired him, and the reason why they hired him is they knew that I was going to turn the job down because I got offended when they asked me to read for the camera because one producer in God knows where, probably some, excuse me for saying this, in some... Betty Ford Rehab.
Well, that's not going to put you in good with a lot of producers.
I don't give a... To ask me if I care. Some one of their producers who probably has a pill problem...
Now you're really going to bury yourself.
Of what? I'm so... This guy wanted me to read...
Like, isn't that what you people do? You audition?
You people? Oh, my God.
You did. That is true. You audition.
I read for one producer with a pill problem.
Are you sure the guy has a pill problem? You're just saying that.
You're saying it, Don, because you're offended and you're hurt by the fact that they asked you to read.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah, it sounds like you are.
No. No. Oh, no.
Don, don't worry about it, man. There's going to be other parts.
Oh, there'll be other parts, all right. Hey, Don, we'd like you to read for a newsman for Bat Squad. I read for Bat Squad Newsman. Then I got another script, which was the Irma LaDouche Chronicles. I was reading for Newsman. Great. Then I got another script, Skip Spencer, Private Eye. You know, that one, that was a Newsman.
So all of them that you're getting are of news people.
Either a Newsman or a guy in the field or a, you know, it's...
Well, you know, you're going to have to, like... I think if you want other parts, you're going to have to show that you can do other parts. And that means maybe you got to, like, do some... theater, you know.
Oh, really? And how much theater have you done, Phil?
None. Well, I did one play.
Yeah, well, so, what, do you think you're Bob Crane or something?
Do you think you're Bob Crane? Look at it, everybody has to get out there and do it.
Do you? That's what you sounded like just then.
Look, you can make fun all you want, Berman, but Phil's making a good point. You want to get out? Even Bob Crane. Did you tell me that Bob Crane did dinner theater or some jazz like that? Bob Crane before... He was on TV, did theater in and around L.A. But we're getting sidetracked. So Tom Belbani,
I was offered the job, but they had me come in and read. God.
They had you come in and read for what film?
Landmine. And it's a Rex. It's the latest Rex Easley. They call it another Rex Easley joint. All right.
That's what Spike Lee says about his movies.
Well, Rex isn't black. He's white. So he decided he'd take that, another Rex Easley joint. I said, what is a joint? He said, I don't know, but it's what Spike Lee calls his movies.
So Rex, another Rex Easley joint?
Yeah. And
what's Landmine about?
I don't give a damn because I didn't get hired. Now, do I? I don't give a damn because I didn't get hired.
Well, pretend like you did get hired.
All right, if I'm pretending like I got hired, Landmine is about a private investigator in Los Angeles and a very, very sexy blonde played by Denise Keen. You know her, Phil, right?
No.
All right, well, anyway, it doesn't matter to me. So she leads this guy in a wild goose chase because she's killed her husband, but there is $2 or $3 billion worth of gold doubloons stored in a locker at LAX. Now, the whole plot is this guy, the private dick, I don't know what the character's name is, this private eye, he has to go get the stolen gold doubloons, then get this doll, and get out of town before these mafia terrorists. I don't know what they are, but there's very swarthy, dark-skinned guys. They're maybe Mexican mafia. Before they come and steal his car, which has a very, very valuable radioactive element in it.
What is this movie? Does this movie ever end?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I understood from reading the script. So,
are you sure you understood the script?
Yes. Oh, man.
Well, that sounds pretty weird, man. What's all about, anyway?
What is this film about?
I just told you, a private dick and a blonde find the radioactivity in their Cadillac.
Sounds good, man. We'll be looking for that.
All right, well, you take it up with Rex easily, because I could care.
All right, well, Don Berman, so I thought we were going to talk to you about getting the part in this movie, and you haven't gotten it, and I'm sorry about that.
I turned it down, all right? I turned it down.
After you heard that Tom Belbani got hired.
After I heard that Tom Belbani got hired, they knew I didn't want it. That's why.
And they knew that how?
Because I had the disappointed look on my kisser when this guy had me... Forget it, okay? Just forget it.
All right, Don, I'm sorry to bother you.
Yeah, well, if you'd called me ahead of time, it would have saved you the trouble and would have saved me the heartache and the embarrassment of having to go on your...
He's going
to
say rotten show.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
I was going to say your rotten...
Thank you, Don Berman.
Why, that Berman, he's a real ingrate, isn't he?
Don's okay. He just, you know, he's disappointed he didn't get that part.
You get, you do a lot of disc jockey parts, right?
Not lately, no. I mean, I played a dad. I played a lot of dads lately. But the best thing that I ever did that people tell me I did was Mark Maron's show.
The best thing you ever did that people tell you, weren't you aware you did it?
Yes, I was aware I did it. The best thing they thought that I did as an actor was the Mark Maron episode with that disc jockey who cannot make the move into digital.
Oh, yes, I saw that. And even though Mark is trying to teach him, he doesn't want to learn.
Right, right. Because you know what? I know that life, man. I know it so well. And the character that they wanted me to play is like me in a lot of ways. A guy that, you know, I'm kind of peripheral to the radio business now. And what is going on in the radio business?
What's going on in the radio business?
What do we talk about all the time, man? They got a lot of talk radio in there now. They got a lot of right-wing talk radio in there. That's okay. We'll move on with our lives and with the things we do.
Now, you just did a little movie scene, though.
Yeah, what was that?
I played a dad in that one.
All right, so that was it. And then you were in that other movie, Love?
No, that was a TV show called Love, and I played a pissed-off neighbor. Then I was in Whitney Cummings' movie. I play her dad for, like, maybe just a short scene.
Should you be talking about this?
Probably not. So that's what's coming up, folks, there. Now you got it all. And we are doing a couple of shows in March. Thereon after, we will do a couple of shows a month at the United Upright Citizens Brigade.
Way to butcher the name, Phil.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a spot and you butchered it up.
And you bitchy did up. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, Emery Clayton. This is something I wanted Emery in on. Emery Clayton has lots and lots of students, a lot of young ladies, and guess what he notices them doing all the time? Biting on their nails, chewing on their cuticles, ripping their fingers, ripping the flesh from their fingers. And that's exactly what Kellyanne Conway was caught doing on film, in a photograph, while she was posing for something. I don't know what. She was showing this, the left hand, with the just ripped and jeez.
Now the nails were destroyed.
All right, I saw that picture. We'll get to it when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
This is General Kalen Shaw for the Backstage Pass. Friend, if you don't have a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass, access to 20,000-plus hours of the greatest radio show in the history of man on this planet, as well as the current podcast, as well as the radio and television interviews, as well as the TV pilots, as well as all the other miscellany, including Hendroids, which is a fantastic little video game, if you don't have any of that, you don't deserve to live.
Get the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass at philhenryshow.com. Do it today.
Paid for by Trump for President. I'm kidding.
Hi, Wally Hamster here for the Hamster Run. The Hamster Run is a great way to keep your floors clean. All you do is put the little automatic hamster on his Hamster Run and he just sweeps your floor. He also will wash, wax it, get in those crevices, get all the filth out. The Hamster Run is something I invented when I was retired. Excuse me.
something I invented when I was retired, and I got paralyzed on the right side due to a stroke and other extenuating circumstances. Well, the hamster run came to mind one day while I was trying to go to the bathroom, get myself to the toilet, and do it successfully. I wasn't able to invent anything to help me in that way, but I did come up with the hamster run to clean up the floor after, well, you guessed it.
Get the hamster run now by calling this number, 1111111. Well, you get it. Or write to Hamster Run, Rockaway, New Hampshire. That's Hamster Run, Rockaway, New Hampshire.
Get the hamster run. I know I did. I invented it. Then I went ahead and sent away for one. And they said, you don't have to do that. You invented it. Just go to the warehouse and get one. And I went, oh, Christ, you're right.
That's the hamster run.
You better stick and move, bro. Chain hang to my ding-a-ling.
Hello. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Professor Emery Clayton joining us from, the drive back from his daily job there as a professor at L.A. Canyon College. Professor Clayton, I am very, very happy to be with you, and hope that you're happy to be with us. We haven't talked to you in a while.
Hello, Phil and Dale. Hello, everyone.
Well, Professor Clayton, you looked at that picture of Kellyanne Conway that we sent you.
I looked at that, yes. Phil asked me to peruse that, and I said, well, you know, we have that problem among the young ladies here at L.A. Canyon College. I suspect it's a problem that is a problem, I think, that any woman has who wants to keep her nails nice. Now, I don't know Kellyanne Conway from The Man on the Moon. You showed me this woman's hand.
Well, you know, she's the assistant to President President Trump.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't know much about her. She's not a fashion model or anything like that.
No, she's not a fashion model, but, you know, I'll tell you this. She looks like she thinks she's real gorgeous, you know?
Well, I don't know anything about the woman, but when I took a look at her hand, that was the right hand. I said, that reminds me of the young women in our classes, especially my urban studies and my art history class. And these girls will sit there and gnaw on their fingers because they're nervous about making completing a test or making a pop quiz or some jazz like that. They want to make sure that they're going to pass the class. And I will tell them, I'll say, if you're going to sit there and chew on your fingers till there's nothing left, then you have not prepared properly for this class.
Does that give you a tip you off when students are nervous like that, that they haven't...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I see someone sitting there ready to wet their pants, I'll say that I saw one young man in my art history class. He looked like he was ready to just go ahead and wet his jeans, like he needed it. He needed his mama and a diaper, you know. And I said, Henry, why don't you just get up and get lost? Because I know you're not ready for this test. And he said, thank you, Dr. Clayton, thank you. I said, you know you're not going to pass the test. He says, as he was leaving, he said, I don't give a, and he used the dirty word, S-H-I-T. I said, well, good, I'm glad that you're gone. But then after class, I had to get a bucket mop because he left a puddle.
He urinated in his pants?
He left a puddle over there. So this is what I'm talking about. If you are not sure of yourself, you're going to do all kinds of things to tip people off.
What about these girls that are chewing on their nails?
Well, that's the other thing. Any number of young ladies that sit there, they're biting their nails. They're looking at you as you're saying, now, this is a test that we prepared for you. And they're chewing on their nails. They're biting. They're chewing on their hair. And I'll finally have to say to one, you know, like this young lady, Mandy, Mary, I said, Mary, what are you? You ain't even ready for this test. And she's chewed off half of her finger. It looked all wrecked like that Kellyanne Conway picture. And I said, why don't you go ahead and pack it in and split two? She goes, thank you, Dr. Clayton. And I said, you know, you flunked. And she said, I don't give it. You know, then she used the F. Now,
These are not people that sound very well prepared for your tests.
No, they're not prepared. But the tip-off is when they're chewing on their hand. Now, I saw that photograph.
You saw the picture of Kellyanne Conway. And what happens is, if you're biting your nails, you're turning your what were once very nicely manicured fingers into a horror story. So it's slightly different from a college student who has simply got wrecked-looking hands, and you expect that because she doesn't know any better. When a woman of Kellyanne Conway's age does it, she's taking those hands home to her husband, and as he kisses and caresses her hand, and suddenly he sees the nails, I can tell you now there have been men who've had terrible reactions.
What kind of reactions a guy going to have?
Well, look at Miss Eddie. How would you feel if you're laying in bed one night and you turn and look out the window and you see what what's the man?
William Shatner in a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, William, if you look and you see just a monkey-faced gremlin staring at you, what are you going to do?
I'm going to be scared.
All right. Now, imagine when Kellyanne Conway's husband is kissing and caressing her hand, and suddenly he sees those nails. It's exactly the same thing.
What are you talking about, the same thing? One of his chewed-up nails?
You don't know anything about a woman. Have you seen this woman's fingers?
Yeah, you saw the picture, right, General?
Yeah, they look all jacked up, but it's nothing I'm going to scream. That guy in the Twilight Zone saw a gremlin pressing its face against the glass and almost had a damn heart attack.
Well, I got money that says Kellyanne Conway's husband took one look at those hands of hers, and he probably clutched his chest and probably felt just a small pain going down the left arm. What do you think? I'm willing to bet money on it.
All right, well, I wouldn't know. And it doesn't really, from my point of view, it doesn't affect me all that much. I mean, you probably want to say something to her like, hey, honey, what are you doing to your fingers?
Hey, honey, what are you doing to your fingers? Let me tell you something, Mr. Ring. That's one thing if you see that, but if she lays it on you as a surprise, and she's, let's say, for instance, she's saying to you, would you like a massage? Yes, I would. And she says, just lay there on your stomach, honey, and then all of a sudden she holds her hand right in front of you and goes, what do you think of that? You will scream again, man.
We got that one recording that you made, Professor Clayton.
Oh, yeah, in anticipation of being on the program, we did have that one recording we made of in a massage parlor. And I had one of the women who was a masseuse there, where she's got the jacked over hands, and she got the Kellyanne Conway fingers that look like they belong to a creature. And, and so I said, well, go ahead and give that guy a massage, and go ahead and play that now, Dickman, and hear what it sounds like. All right, you heard that.
What the hell was that?
That was the guy seeing her fingers.
So you're telling me that in a massage parlor, you set that guy up?
I said to one of the masseuses, I said, any of you bite your nails until your fingers look like they belong to Dracula, or if you will, Dracula, or if you will, Igor, any one of them. And if we happen to have a young lady here, and I said, go ahead and give a guy a massage and then show him.
Then show him your fingers.
Oh, look at, Henry's going to laugh because the word finger cracks him up.
Yeah, well, that there, now you know my world. Every damn day.
Margaret, no one is saying anything other than what I heard that man do, he was screaming like somebody dropped a canister of napalm on him.
Well, I don't really think about that, General, but...
Well, I do.
All right, well, fine. I mean, Jesus, what do you know about it?
None of your beeswax. Well, then don't bring it up, okay, General? Let me ask you, Professor Clayton, you set that guy up, he screamed, and you're telling me that that's... What difference does it make?
Well, there's a good question.
What do you mean, what difference does it make?
What difference does it make if a woman's got wrecked hands?
Hey, Mr. Henry, we've got a multi-million-dollar business when it comes to dishwashing detergent, when it comes to hand moisteners, when it comes to finger. Look, if fingers are very delicate, you can only do two things with fingers. You can hold a pencil and write properly, or you can be sniffing them. Nothing in between.
What are you talking about?
That's the most asinine thing.
Yeah, the most asinine thing. What else can you do with fingers?
How about
Yeah, can't say it on the radio, can you? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now look.
No, you can't. So all you can do is hold a pen or stick it in your nose and sniff it and go, God damn.
Thanks very much, Professor Emery Clayton, here on the Phil Henry Show.
What did we determine there?
I don't know what we determined there, but what are we determining here? Well, this is Baby Metal, man. Give me chocolate. Baby Metal? Holy Christ.
Yeah, and Baby Metal, and then I also have Sky Baby.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry's show we have coming up. We're going to review the football game coming up on Sunday, the Super Bowl. Jack Armstrong and Harvey Wireman coming up next. This is Sky Baby. Sky Baby drinks Magno water. It's got all the vitamins you need. Sky Baby drinks it before he gets into his helicopter and does the traffic reports every day on the Phil Henry Show. And he never sniffs his fingers, not for love or money. Get Magno water now at Ralph's Markets. Magno water. It doesn't exist.
That is the sound of a man's heart as he sees, for the first time, his money going down the drain, having bet on the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. Hello, this is General Galen Shaw. And remember, betting is one thing. A gambling addiction is something else. Don't be an asshole. Get help now.
Paid for by gambling people.
Welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show. That baby metal blows just...
It's very strange, isn't it?
Just sucks ass. All right.
Now, why don't you throw it away?
You don't have to throw it away, but let's get on the line here while we still have our minds with us. Jack Armstrong, who happens to be... You've still got the line open there to... Jack Armstrong is over at Sun Gym in Venice, California. He's going to be covering the Super Bowl for us. From Los Angeles, watching on TV. And we also want to get on the phone Harvey Wireman, who is at his home in San Marino, California. And Harvey joins us as well. And it's kind of unusual to have you two guys together to comment on the, you know, sports. But why not? I think it's a great idea.
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea. And is Jack, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Harvey.
And what are you doing in the gym?
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm glad you asked me, and Phil, and everybody, how are you all doing?
Hey, Jack!
How you doing, Jack?
Hello, Jack. Good to have you with us.
Hey, old man.
Yeah, one of the things is that I'm working out more. I'm trying to be more athletic if I'm going to do the sports. So I'm trying to be more athletic.
All right, because I can hear the gymnasium there. That's the thing.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind, Phil.
No, not at all.
But I'm going to be doing a little bit of chest work and arm work while I'm doing the report here of the Super Bowl.
Harvey, you are not a professional sports reporter, but you've watched a hell of a lot of Super Bowls. What do you think of this one?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you because I don't think we take advantage of the average man's knowledge of football. We generally, half of the guys you see on TV... they don't know. They wouldn't know their rear end from 40 cents a week. But I will get on the show here, and I'll tell you right now. And I have no fear of reprisal or no fear of contravention. When I tell you, me, Harvey Wireman, saying this, I'm an attorney, and I don't know a guy. I love football. I watch it, but I don't know a god bloody...
You don't know anything about the football.
I don't know anything about the sport, but I'll tell you right now, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that the New England Patriots will win the game, and I'll give you 3.5 points.
Well, I don't... Do you know what the spread is, Phil?
I do not know what the spread is, no.
What do you mean, well, the spread or the gambling?
I was going to say, what does that mean?
It's not what you think.
Well, what does it mean? Someone better answer me fast.
It's a betting spread, the points.
Yeah, it's about betting. You don't know that, Ms. Gray?
No, I did not. When I heard you say spread, I was going to bolt for the door.
No, Margaret, it doesn't mean spread. God.
Margaret, no, please, have no fear. It doesn't mean that.
Well, you know, it's been a very strange week.
Yeah, it was about to get stranger if you were going to make an issue out of that.
Excuse me, Phil, but I am a lady, and I think you should have a little bit more concern and consideration.
Getting back to the game.
How are you? All right? You probably need some water, huh?
You just went, are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm asking you if you're okay.
Are you okay, Harvey?
Yeah, I'm okay. Why?
Now you're all gagged up.
I'm not gagging up. I'm just clearing my throat. All right, Jack, what do you think?
Okay, thank you very much, Harvey. This is Jack Armstrong, by the way. I feel like I have to say my name because everybody's talking a lot, and I don't feel like I'm getting, you know.
We're going to get you on. You're going to have your say, Jack. Don't worry.
Okay. I got to just do one rep here on the chest. This is the chest machine. I'm trying to bulk up, and I'm getting good. My chest is getting real good. I was looking at myself in the mirror this morning, and, yeah, you know, I'm getting some guns on me, so hold on for just a minute.
We got to get the report here on the Super Bowl.
I know. Hold on. I'm going to do one rep, Tony. One rep, okay. Knee. Yeah. That's why my chest is getting good.
Is your chest getting good? That's great. Getting back to the football game.
Well, God, you can give me a little bit of encouragement, can't you?
No, not when you do some weird stuff like that, man.
Yeah, he was just... That's what you do when you lift weights.
Well, how would you know?
I did it very, very briefly at one time in my life. Not for, like, competition, just doing the Nautilus machine.
That's right. That's all that... Well, I'm doing a little bit more sophisticated than the Nautilus machine, Mr. Henry. What I'm doing now, I'm using free weights. like I'm going to do a curl. I'll just do one curl. Yeah. God damn, man. That really works the arm out, and it works out the various tendons.
You know, you must be kidding with that, pal.
Why?
Because you sound like you have been hooked up to some kind of a machine.
I was sitting here. My mouth was hanging open. My daughter had to come over and close my mouth when I was listening to you.
No, it's okay. I know you guys are playing around, but you'd be surprised at the number of people that will come by and go, God, why don't you shut up? And I'll say, you're jealous of Jack Armstrong. And they say, no. And I say, don't even bore me. Don't bore me with your lies, because you're jealous of Jack Armstrong.
Jack, I appreciate you working out, and I know that it's part and parcel of you being a better sports reporter.
Well, because I want to know what it's like to be an athlete.
Well, you're not going to be an athlete just lifting weights.
Oh, wait a minute. That's my second rep on the chest machine. Now, let me look in the mirror. Yeah, it's getting good. I was looking at myself today.
What are you trying to do?
Let's move on. Harvey asked you a question.
I was looking at myself in the mirror today.
Do we have to listen to you talk about how good your chest is getting?
I just wanted to say, never mind.
You were looking at yourself in the mirror. Go ahead.
Well, Miss Gray.
No, don't you... I want the man to finish what he's saying.
Yeah, you probably want to hear about how his...
Hey, shut up, bud, before I kick your ass.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate... And thank you, Margaret. More thank you, Margaret, not bud. I was looking in the mirror, and...
What did you say? Was your penis missing?
G-Fart! Yeah!
Yeah. Was that because I can tell you what...
Get Jack back on, not Harvey.
What happened?
Get Jack back on, not Harvey.
Jack? He hung up on me because I called him Harvey.
Call him back.
Phil, what's going on?
What's going on? You heard Harvey.
Yeah, hey, Jack, it's... But Phil wants you back on. He didn't hang up on you. He hanged it up on Harvey Wehrman.
Okay, Jack.
Hey, you know something? It doesn't matter to me. He can make his jokes. You threw him off the show?
I did.
It doesn't matter to me. But at least this is going to allow me to get said what I want to say.
Well, look, and I don't think he should have said what he said. But enough already, Jack, with how good your chest is getting and what you look like in front of the mirror. And I'm glad that we didn't hear the other half of that.
Oh, my God. You think I'm going to talk about having no clothes on? I was looking at myself in the mirror to see myself not nude, but as a statue, like if I was a statue. Do you think, for instance, that the statue of David, is that nude? Are you all going, ooh, he's nude?
I do. It grosses me out.
You don't even know what he's talking about, do you?
No.
The statue of David's one thing. That's a piece of art.
Well, I got to tell you, General, if you could get a good look at...
Don't do it. You know that they're ready to jump.
I will tell you this, though, okay?
I don't want to hear about your body.
I'm just going to say... My buttock, fuck it.
Oh, thank you very much for that.
I didn't mean to say fuck it.
That is Jack Armstrong, and no, we won't hear. Is Jack there?
Yeah, want to put him back on?
No. Tell him I want to know what his spread for the game is.
What is your spread?
He hung up.
Probably thought I meant butt spread.
Yeah, after that, that's sorry.
I don't care. I could give a sweet JC. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So listen, again. I want to publicly thank the Hollywood Improv.
Oh, get off it, will you, Phil? We know.
Okay, then thank you very much, guys, and we will be seeing you tonight. Get tickets if you haven't got them already and you're in the L.A. area to see us this evening for our final show at the Hollywood Improv, and that starts at 8 o'clock.
Hello, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Yeah!
Yeah, my buttocks is getting good, man.
Yeah, what? You're dirty.